You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
And on this episode, we have a really fun, exciting guest to bring you guys to help us celebrate the spooky season that is October and Halloween. We have Stephanie Strange. You know her from BuzzFeed. She also does some content for Travel Channel, and she has a great TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and all kind of awesome stuff. You can find her on TikTok and Instagram at Stephanie. That's STEFFANY_Strange. And then you can find her on YouTube, same username, just without the underscore. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Yeah, your content frequently comes across my For You page on TikTok, seeing as I guess just from booking ghost content, the stuff I like, TikTok likes to push awesome creators my way. So we're super excited to get you on the podcast. How has October been for you? Do you get really in the Halloween spirit?
Normally I do. So like last year I had like the headless horse, I had like animatronics and everything. I go all out. Like my house is literally decked out, but this year I'm moving into California. So I just have like some skeletons and like pumpkins up front, nothing too crazy, but normally I'd have like, I literally spend like $300 or more. It's really bad. I have an addiction of buying Halloween decorations.
I love Halloween decorations the most, but I'm like too lazy to go get any of them. Well, we both are.
We like to admire people's Halloween decorations, but
JJ, but you also just keep all your skeletons in the closet, right?
Exactly.
So funny. Noah, that was so funny. Oh my God.
He's dead.
I love that.
Really funny comedians. I just like creepy or just eclectic looking art and trinkets that are year round too. But it's nice when they all come out at Halloween.
Yes. And then like behind me here, like I have a 3D printer. So I made these little like cool little like Victorian-esque frames. And I went to like Michael's and I bought these like see-through, it's actually like white paper behind it. It's like see-through x-ray, like fake Halloween x-ray
really
things.
Cool.
And I'm like, okay, see, 3D printer, you can make all kinds of cool stuff.
That's so smart. Those look amazing.
Those look awesome.
Okay, so on this podcast, we, you know, we love collecting all these stories. We've talked to friends and their friends and, you know, they'll bring their parents on or we'll find people on social media. And because really, like, we're all pretty much skeptics here.
Yeah.
We're at different ranges of it. JJ probably the most skeptic. Noah and me go back and forth with like what we believe in and what scale that is. But yeah, so we're just kind of collecting these stories to see like what the deal is. And it's been amazing. We've heard so many stories, a lot of them that are very similar, a lot of people with very similar gifts. And yeah, we're so excited to hear where you fall kind of in the ghost world. So what we like to start off with is our like believe-o-meter.
You sounded so confident when you said that. Believe-o-meter.
Believe-o-meter. Well, it's a tongue twister.
We're tens in believing in ourselves.
Tens. So yeah, 10 is like you believe in ghosts, you know, so much that you might interact with them. frequently. Zero, you definitely don't think there's a ghost. So where do you fall on that?
Okay, this is an interesting story. So I actually used to be like a non-believer skeptic, but now I'm a 10. So I've gone through a big journey. I spent most of my 20s unlearning all of the skepticism. So now I'm 30. I'm going to be 31 this month. So I went through all of that shebang. But yeah, I would say I'm now like probably at a 10. Like, you know, maybe like not the stuff that I see online. Like, you know, I know I post a lot of things like, oh, is this a ghost or whatever? Like, I'm probably skeptical on some of those, right? But I think it, when it comes to like ghosts, I am a 10. Like, I believe in 10 out of 10.
And was there a major event that took you from being, you know, pretty skeptical to a 10?
Oh yeah. So I was 20. Okay, so when I moved to Denver, I was, I think, 18 or 19. It was like the end of the year, so I'm always messing this up, and my birthday's at the end of the year, so I want to say I was like 19 when I moved out here to Denver. And at the time I was a skeptical person, non-believer. And then a year later, I had a friend from the same town, small town in Minnesota, move out to Lakewood, Colorado, which is not far from Denver. It's like one of the suburbs. And she moved out here to get away from Minnesota. We actually had a friend that passed away in high school due to a plane crash. And so she reached out to me on Facebook. She goes, oh my God, Stephanie, you live out here. Like, I really want to touch base with you. And let's just like have like coffee and reminisce of our deceased friend. I'm like, sure, let's do that. And keep in mind, I didn't really know this person very well, like this high school friend of mine. It's just like through like having mutual friends. Like, I think I would see them at like parties, if that, you know, but not really like I have her on MySpace. Like back then when MySpace was popular. Yes, you know, she was not like my top eight or anything. She was not my top eight, but but, you know, we had a lot of mutuals. And so, you know, we happened to add each other on Facebook after my friend passed away. And so anyway, like I met up with her and we decided to meet up at her house and then drive to like a nearby coffee shop and maybe get some lunch. And when I got to her house, her mom like was being really like weird and like hovering around us. So before I even get into this, her mom and her mom's partner are both psychic mediums. So that's why they were hovering around me. So they're just kind of like, do you have a brother? I'm like, I have no brother in Colorado. So I just have sisters. you might be confusing me for someone else. I don't know. Right. So I dismissed it as that. And she's like, no, that's not it. And she like walked away. And I was like, okay, well, she's being weird. Let's go get coffee. And so me and my friend went to get coffee. We came back. And then like the lady was like, hey, you know, I actually like have a message for you, but I know that like, I'm not trying to weird you out. And then I'm just going to come out and say it. Your mom had a miscarriage and that spirit is lingering around you. And I'm just like, okay, that's weird. My mom did have a miscarriage. In fact, she had two miscarriages and then she had her firstborn ever was, he died at like, I think a couple of weeks, not too long. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, he died. My mom was basic for context because it gets interesting. For context, he passed away when my mom fell asleep on a hammock and they were sleeping together. And I guess he just passed away in his sleep because he had some underlining issues. I don't know. Keep in mind, my family's from El Salvador, so it's really hard, you know, for me to get a definite answer what was wrong with him. Right. So this was like probably 15 years before... No, this is like a long, yeah. So my mom had my oldest sister 10 years after that incident or something like that. But anyway, so she starts talking about the miscarriage and I'm just kind of like, kind of weirded out, but I'm like, okay, what a weird coincidence, you know, like didn't believe in psychics. I was like, okay, I'm not going to feed her anything. I'm not going to nod. I'm just going to keep a straight face because they're always looking at body language and trying to like, you know, get you to say yes or no to continue on, whatever, right? But I found it interesting that she wasn't asking for money. She just wanted to give me that message. And so she starts going on about that. And then I kind of just didn't really want to talk to her because again, did not care for that. But my mom calls me and I said, Mom, you won't believe it. But this lady, because I'm talking to her in Spanish, so they can't understand me. Right. So I'm like, Mom, like this weird lady is like telling me that you had a miscarriage and she's picking up on his spirit. My mom got emotional because she believes in that stuff. So she's like, oh my God, can you please talk to them? Can they try to get a name? Can they like, can you please like, just like, I want to see what else they have to say. And I was like, fine. Because she got really like, she was ready to cry basically. So I'm like, fine, yeah. You know? So I went back inside. And I'm like, hey, this is weird, but like my mom wants me to get a reading from you guys regarding the spirit that you're seeing. So she starts picking up like how he passed away. They did pick up the hammock. They did pick up how like his name started with like a J-A. And I'm like, J-A? And I'm like, okay, again, probably Jose. It's common Latino last name. I don't know. So I was like, whatever. I didn't even know the name, honestly. So I was like, J-A? I don't know. Right. And then later I find out that his name was Javier. So J-A-V-E-R. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Again, how can I know? I don't know this affirmation. How do they know? And there's no, like, again, this is like 2011, right? Mm-hmm. So like, it's not like I'm going to just pop open all of this, my smartphone and start doing a whole background check on me.
Right. So no, that's incredible.
Yeah. So then it gets even weirder. So then like on top of that, because it's both the ladies, like, you know, my friend's mom and her partner doing a double tag reading. So then the other lady, Percy, I'll say her name, Percy, she starts picking up on my mom's deceased brother. So she starts saying, oh yeah, by the way, you have a deceased uncle from your mom's side of the family. He was the youngest one. He died at 21 years old. He was in the army. He was a medic. They never found his body. And I'm just like, what is going on here? And I said, you have the wrong person, because I know who passed away in my mom's side of the family. And the only person I know that passed away was my mom's older brother, who was a twin. His twin brother passed away. She's like, no, that's not who I'm talking about. And I'm like, no, you got the wrong person. And we were both like, I'm fighting her. I'm like, no, no, no. She's like, yes, yes, yes. And so fast forward, after this whole reading is said and done, she said one final thing to me. She said, I want you to go back to Minnesota and find this picture of you. You're about 3 years old. You're wearing like this it's not like white. It's like a very light yellow dress, and you're by yourself. The carpet is brown. You're looking straight at the camera. And at the time I have all my baby pictures with me. I took them with me from Minnesota to Denver. And I was like, I don't have a picture like that, but whatever. And, but she's like, no, you have to look for this picture, because that's where your brother is showing up in that image. So she believes that his spirit follows me around and lives like through my life, basically, because he didn't have a life in this time frame. So I'm just like, whatever at this point, right? But I was overwhelmed with all the information she gave me. So I call my mom back on my drive to my house. I tell her everything. She starts crying. And then she said, yeah, that's my younger brother, Ovidio, which I don't honestly like my Spanish. I mean, I would say that's my first language, but I don't know, like, I don't have like a catalog of like Spanish names. I would say like I'm more fluent in English now than Spanish, because I was born here. So when she said that name, I'm like, what, Ovidio? I was like, okay, I've never heard that name. But she was basically saying that he was also in the army. He was in the medic and never found his body. And I'm like, mom, why didn't you ever tell me about this? And she's like, because it hurt me so bad. That like, why would I bring that up to you? Like, she's like, that was so long ago. That's in a different lifetime. Like, I don't really want to bring that up. So I thought skeptical Stephanie's like, she's bullshitting me. She's playing a prank on me. Like she's faking this. So I call my dad. So for context, my dad and my mom, like my dad married like the girl next door, basically in El Salvador. So I call my dad. I'm like, dad, I want you to confirm this for me. Like, did my mom have a younger brother? And I gave the same description and goes, yeah, I was there that day. Like, that was really hard for them. They never found the body. Like, he added again. Wow. And I seriously cannot make this shit up. I can't make this shit up, because like, again, as someone who was like atheist, skeptical, non-believer, I was literally up for 24 hours trying to find logic. I'm not joking. I did not sleep that night, because I was like, okay, like, let's find the logic in this. Mm-hmm. How did she know this? Like, I literally could not sleep. It shook my core. And so, yeah, that's the journey of how I literally kind of started to believe in it. And then to add more to that, Percy, she became my mentor. She kind of does like shamanism, spiritual work. She's indigenous. And, so yeah, like, you know, she also has cancer. So I really kind of sparked this whole thing to go on TikTok and start telling stories and create a community where like people who were like me didn't have that at that time. So
yeah, that's an amazing story. And what you said about that community really has struck true for us. That's something we keep hearing from fans that listen to the show or people who they had a gift or they shared like one thing on TikTok and it went viral. And then they'll come on the podcast and start listening to stuff. And they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know all these other people existed. I don't feel abnormal. You know, I have a sense of community. And I'm sure you have felt this too. It feels really special to help cater that content and create like a safe space for people to share those stories.
Yes.
I think like I'm the closest to 10 I've ever been when I speak to mediums or when I talk to people that can know so much about your family, things you don't even know. Like at the very beginning of this podcast, I was coming on the episode to tell them my story. Mm-hmm. And I kind of fell into hosting with them later on, but it was the same kind of thing. I moved to a place in Oregon that was the name of my late grandfather, which I just didn't connect. And then all these things connected with someone I worked with who was a medium. And suddenly like my dad found his whole side of his family that he never met because of like religious things that, just this whole backstory, but all because of, even if it was like, you know, did she really know this or did she really know this about my family? But it still got me to inquire, you know, dad, was your grandma's name this? Dad, was this, you know, all these connections that led to him ultimately finding like all his aunts and uncles and his cousins. And it's like, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's hard to deny that. What do you think, JJ?
Well, yeah, I don't know. That sounds great. I mean, like, yeah, if I were in your shoes, I don't know. I feel like I would be in the same boat as a fellow atheist, skeptic, non-believer, just like up all night, like how on earth did this, like, can this be explained? This
your dry eraser board is just filled with ghost math. You're like, I don't understand.
Yeah. No, I would be like the Charlie meme from It's Always Sunny, where it's like the billboard. And, yeah.
Well, JJ, you kind of had that experience, you know, to a lesser degree on here with, gosh, I can't even remember which medium it was we had on talking about your grandfather. That was
interesting. Was bullshit. I'm originally from Kansas, and this medium guessed that I had a grandfather with an M name, and like, or that I had some relative with, I don't know, asking a lot of leading questions.
But she knew that he had some stuff with alcohol and like some behavioral stuff.
And the little white dog.
Yeah.
Okay. She knew that. There was a complicated.
We got him, Kat.
History, which like
he's a 10. He's clearly a 10 now. Farmer.
But anyway, I don't know. I'm just like most like farmers of that generation are not like the most warm, lovey-dovey guys. So I'm like, okay. But anyways, I just want to ask, like, as when you were going through that experience, I mean, how much did that kind of like shake your worldview, and how much did you kind of like adapt and change perspectives on other areas where you're kind of been skeptical or like looking at ration and empirical evidence?
Yeah. Well, and to add to context, like I literally was that person that like followed skeptic blogs and mm-hmm. I had books on like famous, like people who would debate like mediums and stuff like that. Like I literally was going the whole shebang. I'd even go to like talks. I forgot his name already, but I even went to like the University of Boulder to hear one of those guys talk. And like, I was like, I literally was that skeptic, like hardcore, love to debate people, very like opinionated and outspoken about it. And so when this whole thing happened, and my ex-boyfriend was also like equally the same as me, so needless to say, we did break up about a year and a half after my spiritual journey into that. So what happened is, after that incident, because she invited me back, she said, hey, you know, I know that this is a lot for you right now, so I'm gonna stop. And it's very, I felt tired too. Like she's like, there's a lot of energy we used in this room, so you're feeling really drained right now. This is not just you overwhelmed. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I went home, processed everything. And, you know, I think from that point on, I took a step back and realized that at the end of the day, there's a difference between like facts and truths, right? Like that's my lived experience. That is my truth. And so I'm going to think about it and come back. And I'm not going to say I'm open-minded all of a sudden, because that's after that incident, even though it was a very powerful experience, technically I should have been like, okay, I'm open-minded now. No, I took a step back and like was just trying to fight it. So it took me like many months, like maybe three, not many months, but in like 2 to 3 months. And I called her back, and because she wanted to mentor me, she said I was a psychic medium myself and I was an empath and all of these things. And like the life path that I was on was actually my ex-boyfriend's. And it's true. I felt like I adopt, and it's natural, right? Even like aside from that, like when you're in a relationship, you adopt so much from each other. So, so anyway, I was like, okay, well, I need to think about that. So I think from that point, that year, I considered myself more like agnostic, somewhere in the middle, just trying to like, you know, I'm still going to be skeptical, but I'm going to be open-minded and respectful now, because like now I'm being told that I'm cuckoo bananas with my experience. Like my ex-boyfriend was like, oh, that's a weird coincidence. After everything I told him, he was still skeptical. He's like, ah, what a coincidence. You just got lucky. I was like, that's a shit for a skeptic. Sometimes skeptics have really shitty like answers. I'm sorry, they do.
Yeah. just as bad. Also, like, it seems like such a cop out to be like, oh, they just got lucky, when they were both coming at you like, I'm so sorry to make you feel uncomfortable, but I need to tell you all of these things that are suddenly.
Yes. So basically what I did, so I took it a step, I think about halfway in, I decided to actually pay someone to do a reading for me. And that was actually pretty decent. She picked up how my deceased friend that died in a plane crash, like she was the first. I was literally bawling my eyes out. Because she got really like details of her favorite pattern, her hair. She was really into her hair because she had like cut it into like this bohawk before she passed away. And all these cool things. And it just, at the time I was grieving her, my friend passing away took a toll on my mental health. Like I was obsessed with listening to her voicemail, like every 5 seconds of the day, visiting her pictures. Some people are like, this is not healthy. I'm like, I can't help it though. So anyway, I saw that medium. I was like, you know what? Now this is two mediums that in a way, even though I still say that Percy was her and her partner were, they were legit. This medium was okay. Right. She still got pretty good stuff. But I was like, okay, you know what? So I'm going to follow what Percy said, and I'm going to start diving into the spiritual journey. So I went on meetup.com. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of meetup.com.
Oh, yeah. I used to use it.
Meetup.com. I can't even talk. Meetup. So anyway, I joined that, and I actually found a psychic development group here in Denver. So I was like, this is going to be so freaking hilarious. Let me just dive into this, because I'm now curious to see the process of becoming a psychic medium. Like people, you know, you see like the Long Island medium and all these people, right? And I consider it like, no, I'm Harry Potter. And I, even now as a psychic medium, like I'm Harry Potter. I'm not freaking like this amazing wizard right now. Like I'll maybe get there one day, but I'm a student of life. And I mean, when I filmed a pilot for a network, I can't say what it is right now, but I told them that I'm like, if you guys are going to capture my essence of a psychic medium, I'm Harry Potter. I'm not Long Island medium.
Does it rhyme with Travel Channel?
No, surprisingly no, but it's going to be interesting when it comes out, because I do stuff for the travel.
Does it rhyme with the Misney Mantle? Just kidding.
I'll say it's at the top.
it's clearly ESPN.
we're just joking. We don't want you.
No worries. No, you're worried. I will give you a hint. It's a popular network. Like it's a big popular network. So I was, starstruck with that one. But anyway, I told him that, and I feel like my mentor, I have a couple of mentors. Percy, she has cancer, so she took a step back, but I still consider her one of my mentors up until, you know, as a recent. And then I have another mentor, and he married me and my husband. He's a spiritual minister, and he's the one that conducts the psychic development classes. He's 60 years old, and I love his philosophy. He's like, I'm 60, and I'm not going to tell you that, like, I know everything in the spiritual community, because there's so many cultures, different parts of the world, different practices, and people get so caught up with like the little like details of that stuff. Like, why is it a purple candle versus green candle as you're burning this envelope? He's like, you guys are like, that's your process. My process is one step into the spiritual realm, one step in the physical realm. And I think that really helped me become more open-minded, because we all have this concept, like misconception of psychic mediums, like, and even seances, like Victorian-esque spiritual movement. And that's not really the reality of things. And Hollywood has also painted a bad picture on the community. And so when I took these classes, I saw some really cool stuff, the stuff that like, you know, we're practicing it on each other. There's people who are insecure about their gifts, and they come out and they're really accurate about things that like they didn't even know about. And I remember during that time, I thought that was so cool. It's like, how did I know this about this person? Like, it's crazy. Like, I would even surprise myself, and I'm giving the message. And I thought that was, this is a great vulnerable space. I wish this space was like shown in mainstream media, because it's not just like I wake up one day and I know everything now. I know, like, it's just not how it works. And there's a right. lot of things with, like, again, belief systems, like cultural karma, you know, all those type of things that go into it too with psychic mediums. So everyone does it differently too.
So are you a practitioner of like the spirit? Because that's something we hear a lot on this podcast when mediums and psychics come on, is that there is this entity or voice that is coming to them and giving them this information, or are things just kind of coming to you in rapid flashes and you're seeing pictures in your mind, or is it like a combination of both, or how does your process work?
Yeah. So I would say, I've been told I'm an empath, and I can definitely resonate. I'm an empath. But basically I'm very clear. I'm clairvoyant, which is visuals, and I'm clairsentient, which is just knowing random shit out of nowhere. And so here's how it works. So I was at, I don't live in California. I'm not like, I'm familiar with like North Hollywood, because that's where most of my family lives. But recently my cousin moved to Santa Clarita, and she lives on the outskirts of Santa Clarita. And then I was like, I'm just going to drive to Starbucks. And something told me like, no, like my spirit guide, because that's what it is too. Like sometimes they'll talk to me, but I tend to just not see them as a different entity. I just think of it as like my inner voice, like part of me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so basically like something told me to like follow their direction. So I didn't have my phone, and I ended up to like a Starbucks and a Target. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm glad I ended up here, because now I can go buy things. And that happens all the time. Like people always ask me where stuff is. Like I remember my friend's apartment, they had a library, like a residency library in the basement, in like the dark though. Like you have to like, so they're on the third floor, and I decided to go to the basement. Cause something told me like, oh, you should go to the basement. Like there's an office there, they can go hang out. And I was like, okay, that's weird. So I went, but also I was being nosy too, right? Like, I'll give it that. So I went down there, and it was dark. Like the hallway was dark. I'm like, what is this creepy ass basement? Why am I down here? And then like, but I see a faint light. And as I continue walking through it, there was a library, like a really cool library with like tables, beanbag chairs. And I've never been there. So like, I don't know how the hell I would know that. But that's how like in my mind, like clairsentience works. Like I just know random things sometimes, whenever I need it, and then it happens. And I think the misconception too is that, you know, everyone has the same talents and gifts, and that's not, it's like a muscle. You have to work and exercise that muscle, which is why like we have those circle readings where people want to practice on each other, because it is a muscle. If you don't use it all the time, you'll probably not be accurate. Yeah.
So one thing I'm curious about is, how did you go from, you know, kind of the spiritual awakening, spiritual journey that you've unlaid for us, to creating content for yourself, for BuzzFeed, working with a travel channel? How did you kind of figure out, hey, this is a space of media that I can present what I'm interested in to the masses, and people kind of flock to you for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So as I mentioned, I'm 31, but I feel like I hit my midlife crisis when I was like 27, like, well, not midlife, but yeah, like you're in your late 20s, early 30s, like what the
fuck. And I hate to tell you, at the sevens, it always happens, because you're close to the next rollover. It's like watching the pedometer go over, like happen at 27. It's because, at least for me, I shouldn't speak for everybody, but you start thinking about all the time that's led up to there, and it's like, oh no, here comes the next, da da da. So yeah, I can relate to that.
I love that. At 27 for me, I was sitting at a parking lot after I completed a shift at Apple. I was crying my eyes out, because I'm like, I graduated college with a fine arts degree. What the fuck? Why did I do this? Yeah. Like literally like this loser. Meanwhile, my sister's like a nurse, you know, went to nursing school and is a nurse. I'm like, she's saving lives and shit, and I'm just here, like just being me, being a child.
You were a genius though. You worked at Apple, right? So
right. But I literally just sat there, and I was like, I literally cosplay, work a part-time job, and literally sit in front of a TV and cry my eyes out, because I don't know what the fuck I want to do when I grow up. And it's funny, because my intuition always told me. So here are the two things that my intuition has always been really correct on. Like, what I mean by intuition is like life changing moments in life. So when I was 15, I knew that at 30, I was going to be doing something I love. Like there was always something in the back of my head that said, you don't know what it is right now because it doesn't exist yet. Ha, get, yeah, crazy. But you know, like you're going to be doing something that you love with film. And I'm like, the film, but I'm not an actress. And so I'd always have these like conversations with myself on that. So when I was sitting there at 27, I was like, okay, I need to like get my shit together and really start like really being confident within myself and stop putting like so much worry on what other people believe or think about me. Cause I was scared of like coming out and telling people I was a psychic medium, like, especially cause I had so many friends that were skeptical, like on Facebook and all this stuff. Like I was very like scared of what people would think of me. And I remember that shortly thereafter, I decided to get a different role within Apple. So I was doing like basically Apple for like Best Buy. And then I decided to transition to the stores. And then during that transition, I remember that there was someone who introduced me to a podcast called Lore. And that's because I decided to transition between departments. So here I was like listening to these podcasts. I didn't consider myself a podcast person. So I spent about a year listening to these podcasts. I'm like, you know, this sounds so weird. I'm not charismatic. I hate my speech mannerisms. I'm dyslexic. So I mess up so much on my like speech mannerisms and reading and all that. It's annoying. I'm not a writer because I'm dyslexic. So like I was putting myself down all over again. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I'm just going to make YouTube. So I started doing YouTube, hated it. And I continued to listen to these podcasts and something kept saying, no, start telling these scary stories. You have so many cool experiences. Why don't you tell that? And I kept saying, no, like people are going to judge me and make fun of me and I'm not ready to be vulnerable. And so I started listening from Lore. I started listening to Bedtime Stories. I don't know if you've ever heard of that podcast, mm-hmm. but love the podcast, love their YouTube. And then I started listening to all these, then it just opened up the doors to like Weird Darkness, all these other podcasts. I'm a podcast person. So after you guys reached out to me, I started listening to the episode with Kelsey, so I'm hooked. So you guys are doing great.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, well, I think about in 2018, I think I'm like ahead of myself. So I spent 2018 making YouTube, learning how to edit videos, learning how to revisit that creative side of me again that I kept putting down. And then by 2019, I opened up a TikTok. And then I was like, oh, but I don't know how to make these stories short. And then I found like someone said, like TikTok is literally like video versions of tweets and Tumblr. And and that just like opened up, like just boom. Opened up like all of these opportunities. I'm like, oh my gosh, I start seeing it like that. Now I can tell scary stories. And so I started doing that. Because I thought I wanted to do cosplay, but I was like, no, I think I want to tell these stories. I'm ready now to tell these stories.
Yeah.
And I admit, when I did TikTok, it was cosplay. And then I did scary stories, but third person, but they were mm-hmm. my stories. I just didn't want to tell anyone that they were my stories until I waited to see how they were being reciprocated.
Sounds like something I would do too. But it sounds like, I mean, people just welcomed you in with open arms. It's such a cool story to hear your journey.
Well, so it's funny because I grew up with Salvadorian folklore. So my grandfather, who used to babysit me when I was like 5 and 6, would tell me all these stories. And I love them. And I would love these. And I think that's probably why I got into podcasts. I just, for some reason, was slow at it. I was like, oh, I mean, if I love these stories, why didn't I get into the podcast stuff? And so when I was on TikTok, I started seeing people tell stories, but they're mostly men. And I was like, no, like I want to talk about like my culture and I want to do that representation. Cause I was getting like, Mr. Ballin is great, but like he was showing up so much on my FYP, Lore, you know, Bedtime, like they're all men and they're not.
Which
like,
is ironic because we can like never find men to bring on this podcast.
Right? Like it's so weird. Cause like for me, it's like, I kept running into like men who did these things, but I'm like, but most of the time women are into this stuff. So weird. So I did my TikTok, and then the one that blew up was the one about like me sharing how like someone knocked on my window is connected to, well, not connected, but it's facing my backyard, and someone knocked on it, and I started telling that scary story, and it blew up. And yeah, that just started like basically my journey to like where I'm at now. So,
well, before we get you out of here, are there any scary stories that you would like to share with our audience?
Yeah, I guess the one that I haven't really formally done, and I've done it on my lives, but I haven't done it like anywhere really, was the one time I lived in this house. All my ghost stories are really Minnesota as a kid. I just dismissed it as whatever. So, Okay, I lived in North Minneapolis. I was living with my dad, my stepmom, and my two sisters. And at the time, me and my two sisters shared a room together. It sucked. But we were all in we had the master room, so it wasn't too bad. But the master room had two closets. And at the time, this is like the year 2000, actually, I was 10. So my sister, they're 10 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And the second oldest, her name's Erica. She worked at a Chuck E. Cheese, which is about 35 minutes away from where we lived. And at the time, there were no cell phones, none of that stuff, right? We just had a landline phone. And it wasn't even upstairs, it was downstairs because my dad hated us using the phone. So I remember that we were on the second floor. We had the window open because my dad was also a stickler with air conditioning. So we had the window open and I was getting ready to go to bed. And I was literally like that religious, like as a kid, because my family was like super religious. So you have to pray before you go to bed, even though I low key hated it. I hated it so much.
All of us, I think.
I hated it. Yeah. I was like, so here I am like getting on my knees. I'm like, what the fuck do I want to pray about today? And then like, and so as I'm pondering life and I'm just like, okay, I just don't know. My sister is literally like cleaning her closet because she's a clean freak. And so she was organizing, like just whispering to herself because she was mad how messy we were. And there's a moment of silence. And I still don't know what the hell I'm praying about. And out of nowhere, I hear someone say, Stephanie. And it sounded just like my sister Erica's voice, who wasn't there. She was at Chuck E. Cheese working. And this is around like 9 at night, I would say, because I think like Chuck E. Cheese closed at that. Yeah, it had to be 9 o'clock. So I hear her say Stephanie three times. Like she was like, she needed help. Like she was like, Stephanie. Like she sounded like something bad was happening to her. And I looked at my sister Dahlia. And she looked at me and we're like, did you hear that? And by the way, I just found out recently when she went on my live that she heard her voice. I thought she heard my name. I'm sorry. Sorry. Ooh. Dahlia thought she heard Erica say her name. Oh. And I thought, yeah. So while she heard Erica say her name, I thought Erica said my name. And Dahlia and Stephanie don't sound anything alike, but we both acknowledged that it was Erica's voice. So we looked at each other like, is that Erica? And so we ran to the window. And no one was there. It was like pitch black. So we went downstairs and we checked because she would park in the front because like the garage is for my dad, reserved for my dad. So we went outside the front of the house. Her car wasn't there. We went to the garage, wasn't there. We went to the alleyway, wasn't there. We asked my stepsister because her bedroom faced the front of the house and she also had the window open. Mm-hmm. So while we were on the side of the house, she was in front where like you could see where my sister would have parked her car. So right. Evelyn was like, no, I haven't heard. She looked at us all weird, like, no, I haven't heard anything. It's been quiet. Right. And so then like from there, I started panicking. I was like, oh my God, Dahlia, you're playing a prank on me. I'm going to tell my dad on you. Like you're being a jerk right now. Like, cause I was like, I used to be that kid. I was like, I'm going to tell my parents on you. I'm going to be this bitch.
I was too. I was a big nerd and snitch growing up, big time.
So I was like, I'm going to snitch on you. So she's like, no, she got all mad at me. She's like, I swear to God, I am not playing. And by the way, like Dahlia is not a prankster. She's more a serious older sister. So if she hears this, sorry, Dahlia, but you're not funny like that, but I love you. she's not like that though. But again, as a kid, I was like panicking because that was freaking creepy. So she's like, okay, fine to like give you a peace of mind and give me a peace of mind. Cause she sounded like she was in despair. We're going to call Chuck E. Cheese. So we called Chuck E. Cheese. Her boss answers and he's like, what do you guys want? Because her boss is also a jerk. I remember him. And he's like, is this an emergency? Because if not, she's like cleaning the bathrooms. And we're like, well, yeah, it's an emergency. Like, I need to talk to her because I still don't believe him. And so
I just pause real quick? He was like, the bathrooms are like only an emergency can interrupt bathroom cleaning. Like that is a little ridiculous.
I mean, have you been to a Chuck E. Cheese though? That's probably like ground zero.
I'm not surprised the manager was a jerk.
Well, I think as he just like, I want to get the hell out of here. It's already 9 p.m. I just like, let's go. Yeah. So like, okay. So then we pass the phone and Erica, like she just had, sometimes she can be really snappy when she's trying to get stuff done. So she's like, what the hell do you guys want? And I was like, are you okay? And she's like, she got really mad. She's like, what is this about? Why are you calling me? I need to like get off the phone because I need to like clean the bathroom and get home. Because this is a 35-minute drive too. So she was like not having it. She was just, she's having a bad day is my guess. And me and Dahlia just looked at each other. Like our eyes were like big. What the fuck just happened? So we get off the phone and I was like, what the hell is that? And so fast forward to add on to this weird, that is it. I mean, I used to tell that part of the story, but to add on, when we went live like a year ago, me and Dahlia started talking about that experience. So she's had premonitions, like her dreams come true. Like she had a dream of like her best friend's dad dying. He died like a week later. So like, yeah, she's had weird. Yeah. So she used to dream of this man and like, she described him like, he was an older man, skinny, white. He had like, he was almost balding and like, he kind of, he had like a flannel shirt of some kind, like blue, I don't know. But she got pretty detailed with it, with like what she kept seeing in her dream. Mm-hmm. And she said that she had a dream of the man hanging out in the old part of the attic. So basically the house was renovated and the second floor used to be an attic, but they made it into, like they added onto it to make it into a second floor. So like the half of the second floor was the remaining of the attic. So she had a dream. So she kept dreaming of this man there. And he kept saying like he wanted to take me and all this stuff. I did not know she had this weird ass dream. And then I said to her, that's trippy as fuck, because everything you just said, I dreamt of the same man in the basement where they're building my stepbrother's room. And then I used to be so into playing in that attic too. Like I had like little, my teacups and everything. And Dahlia would be like, why are you here? Like, I don't like this room. Like you need to leave this room. It's dark and it's gross. Why do you like this room? And then she dreamt of that man. And then I dreamt of the same man. And we just never, cause it's like, I don't know. I just never share that dream with her. So yeah. It's so weird that like fast forward all these years, we left it at that one event, but apparently like we were seeing this man, the same man almost like in that house.
That's so scary. I don't know. Shared dreams are also another one that freak me out. Like how I cannot.
Or when someone dream, like what you said your sister has, where she'll dream something and then it comes true. That, like, how do you explain that? It makes no sense.
We had someone once say that, I don't know if it was dreams, but she could predict like celebrity deaths and births or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that stuff fascinates me. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Me and my husband have had shared dreams too. That's also wacko, like cuckoo bananas. Like we both had an apocalyptic dream, like where we both saw like these white, like you know how they have people describe like these weird humanoid aliens, like they're tall and white and pale. Uh-huh. You know what I'm talking about? They're not like the stereotypical with like the big head. They're just like really weird, tall beings, and they're really pale.
Kind of like Slenderman looking.
Yes, yes. So me and my husband, so I dreamt that the world was ending and there were zombies. And then we made it to the top of this building and there's these like humanoid beings there. And they're like starting to kill people who were not worthy. And my husband had a very similar dream, but we didn't watch any scary movie. It was not even like, this is before I did TikTok scary stuff or anything that. So we didn't even watch anything scary. I think we were watching like something funny. Like, I don't even remember anymore, but we weren't watching anything like that at the time. So I don't know.
From like Wedding Crashers to apocalyptic dreams. Is that?
Yeah. It's just, it's so bizarre.
It feels like you definitely have a connection to the spiritual world, and it like not only is surrounding you, but it permeates other people that are around you too.
Well, I met my husband at a psychic development, that psychic development class. That's why my spiritual minister married me.
So it's like
Double
the energy in that room. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we've had a couple, people learning to be mediums and connecting with their, that part of themselves on this podcast. And we always, just to see, cause we had one on once and she was like, oh yeah, there's been a ghost behind you this whole time. Like, we like to ask if you like see anything or feel anything. I know it's over Zoom, so it's just an interesting part that we try to gauge from, our guests that come on.
Oh, like to do any, if I see anything, oh gosh. No, I'm more of like, I like to feel out like people's energy when they're with me. I've tried to do like photos. I've done pretty decent photos, but it's a hit or miss. I've noticed I'm way better with like people with me.
I know. It's always been fascinating to me this past like pandemic year or two, how they can read us over Zoom. I was gonna say that just adds, you know, to our list of skeptic stuff. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, if you continue to listen to the episode of the podcast, you'll hear that episode that Kat's referring to, where we had a guest say that they saw a old lady ghost between Kat and JJ. And then we started to have fans write in and email in that you could hear a whispery lady talk right as she said that. And so we went back and we heard something, but we thought maybe, you know, it's over Zoom. You get feedback on mics or yes, supposedly, although it rarely happens.
It's terrifying. So
we just kind of wrote it off and we were like, oh, that's a fun thing for our audience, you know, whatever. And then we had JJ's brother on, who, if you think JJ is a skeptic, his brother is like the skeptic. And he was like, this is bullshit, this ghost sound, yada, yada, yada. And then people started writing in. As soon as he started talking shit about the ghost, it happened again. And sure enough, it was very, like, it wasn't the exact same cadence, but it was the same voice or very similar. And then we had a fan on and she was talking about how crazy it was and whatnot. And then Kat and JJ heard the sound in their room. Like, I could see them in their Zoom box and stop and look at each other. And I was like, what are they doing? And then they said, like, we heard it out loud. I didn't hear it, but when I went back in editing, clear as day, there it was. So we have a super cut. I think it's in our best of 2020 episode when we're talking to JoJo Wright, and we play it for him. But yeah, if you keep listening, you'll hear it. It's definitely one of the weirder things, phenomenons we've had on the podcast, that and some of the psychic medium stuff where we've just been like, man, this is kind of hard to explain. We don't really know what's happening here.
Especially that's JJ, so cool. Who's like a 10 out of 10 believer.
Yeah, not a 10 out of a 10. I did go from like a 0 to a 5 though.
Yeah.
Not just from that night, but
we have fans that write in and they're like, Noah, just admit that you believe in ghosts now. And I'm like, I am a skeptic. And I just put it in quotations and send it back to
Well, I don't want this to end because I don't know. I just feel like
she has to go. She can't spend all night with us.
I want to end it. It's so easy to talk to you about this stuff. So I hope you'll like come back on one day or help us host an episode or something like that. That'd be so cool.
I
want to talk to you again someday.
I definitely have stories how I used to be a medium over the phone, and how I basically knew that my husband was my husband when the day one that I met him, and how I weirded him out through years of him rejecting me. And as I summarize it, it's not like cuckoo bananas, but it's a really interesting story. I haven't shared with anyone yet because, again, as I'm like, I'm slowly easing into sharing this life of me. I become more comfortable with TikTok and doing stuff on BuzzFeed and other platforms. But yeah, so if you ever want to pick my brain on that, happy to dive further.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we definitely want to bring you back. That would be awesome.
Thank you for sharing what you've shared so far today.
Yeah, I think so.
This might be a shot in the dark, but kind of your mentor, Percy, was that her name?
Yes.
Do you think she'd ever want to chat, or is that maybe something like...
I think my mentor Charles would be more open. Percy, she has cancer. She unfortunately, like, she's on her last end. Mm. She's probably gonna be gone, unfortunately, really soon. It's fine. I saw her, so we're good. I think I'm at a peace with it. I wasn't even like a month ago. But so she unfortunately, like, yeah, she's amazing. So it's sad that what's happening with her. But Charles, he was also on a pilot, on a TV show pilot with F, like, he showed me episodes, and he has an interesting journey, like, and how he started his psychic development and he's like, you know, his spiritual ministry, and he's retiring, I think, this month, and he does seances. I've been part of his seances. I think he would love to do something like this. So
we've been trying to, where does he live?
Charles is who we've been looking for.
Yeah. Where does Charles live?
He lives in Denver, but he does do some traveling from time to time. But yeah, he's the one that was like cheering me on when I did the pilot. So I'm like, Charles, I don't know if I can do this.
We've
pilot.
Been promising our fans a live seance on the podcast. And now we have a mutual friend whose home is haunted, and she has offered her house to be the home of the seance. We were going to do it in Savannah, but when COVID kicked back up again, we decided that probably wouldn't be the best. But well, yeah, we would love to bring you back, maybe bring you back with Charles, like whatever we can do to keep you in our little haunting world. I know our fans are going to enjoy hearing from you, and I'm sure they will reach out to you as well. So before we get you out of here, can you please plug everywhere our fans can find and get your awesome content?
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok, Stephanie_Strange, Instagram, and YouTube.
So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
Yeah. I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Stephanie Strange.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.